Radio Prague News.
The lower house is debating a package of health reform bills which will radically change the system of health care. Some 600 people joined a trade union protest against the proposed changes. And the junior coalition party Public Affairs has elected Vít Bártha, the party's parliamentary club leader. The lower house of parliament is debating a package of health reform bills which will radically change the system of health care. The planned overhaul includes the introduction of standard and above standard care for patients, higher fees for hospital stays and changes to the network of health care providers and emergency aid services. The changes are to be introduced gradually in a phased out process. The government's health reform plans have come under severe criticism from the opposition Social Democrats, who say they will file a complaint against them at the Constitutional Court. Party chairman Bohuslav Sobotka said during the debate in the lower house that it was unacceptable to implement changes which would establish a two-tier system, which would result in the socially weaker groups of the population getting cheaper, less suitable and less effective medical treatment. Some 600 people took to the streets of Prague to protest against the planned changes on Tuesday. The happening, organised by the country's trade unions, involved street pantomime to show what health care would look like if the reforms were implemented. Health Minister Leos Heger, who attempted to explain the planned changes, was showered with insults and calls for his demise. Trade unions have not ruled out the possibility of more massive protests in the coming months, including a general strike. The junior coalition party Public Affairs has elected Vít Bártha, the party's parliamentary club leader. Mr. Bártha, widely regarded as the party's informal leader, resigned as transport minister earlier this year over allegations of corruption. Under pressure from the party's coalition partners, he was sidelined from all important party and government posts. Parliament's Mandate and Immunity Committee is currently debating whether he should be stripped of his immunity to open the way for a police investigation. Public Affairs deputies elected Mr. Bártha by a strong majority, saying that the attacks against him were an orchestrated smear campaign against the junior coalition party, which is pushing a strong anti-corruption agenda. Vít Bártha will replace Carolina Bík, who was recently appointed deputy prime minister and is to head the government's legislative council. Interior Minister Jan Kubice and Police President Petr Lessy have agreed to put a ceiling on performance bonuses for police chiefs. According to Tuesday's Lidové noviny, the police president will in future collect a maximum of 300,000 crowns in annual bonuses, while bonuses for heads of regional divisions should not exceed 200,000 crowns a year. The decision follows a scandal linked to revelations that former interior ministers handed out generous bonuses exceeding millions of crowns to their deputies and regional police chiefs. Close to 96% of Czech households have access to at least one mobile phone, according to figures released by Eurobarometer on Tuesday. The statistics put Czechs high on the EU ladder in the number of mobile phones per capita, together with Scandinavian countries. On the other hand, Czechs are way below the EU average when it comes to using fixed lines. Only 15% of Czechs have both a mobile phone and have maintained a fixed line, while the EU average is 62%. Only 1% of Czech households have a fixed line only. And finally, a quick look at the weather. The coming days should be warm and sunny with scattered showers and day temperatures in the 30s. Heat storms are expected on Wednesday when temperatures may reach 33 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Sarah Barufka. Coming up in today's program, the Czech Republic's leading Roma advocacy group, Romea, suspends its collaboration with the Interior Ministry. A unique TV program devoted to a dissident video magazine premieres on Czech TV on Tuesday. And in Czech history, we explore the story of Emanuel Moravec, the face, voice and main force behind Czech collaboration with the occupying Nazis during World War II. All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. The Czech Republic's leading Roma advocacy group, Romea, have suspended their collaboration with the Ministry of the Interior, saying their relationship and the ministry's work in combating right-wing extremism has taken a sharp turn for the worse. Citing the approach of the police towards extremist demonstrations this year, the ministry's cancellation of a multilateral task force and other issues, Romea says further cooperation between them will depend on how numerous missteps will be redressed. Christian Falvey has more.
Romea has been collaborating on so-called Task Force C, a ministerial work group convened by the previous government of Jan Fischer that brings together representatives of the police, the ministry, and non-governmental organizations to brainstorm on policies and issues involving extremism and minorities. That group was recently dissolved by the ministry's Department of Security Policy, and it was suggested that the association take part in a series of seminars instead. According to Romea's director, Zdeněk Ryšavý, however, that was the last straw. The group argues that the ministry has adopted an unacceptable new attitude in dealing with extremism, beginning with demonstrations earlier this year in the towns of Nový Bydžov and Krupka. In the former, they say the police merely looked on as neo-Nazi speakers broke hate speech laws. In the latter, they allege that the police were heavy-handed in their dispersal of a Roma religious assembly.
Our collaboration with the ministry seemed to us to be beneficial until the end of 2010, shortly after which time the ministry's stance on how to confront extremism in the country changed, in our opinion. Our main grounds for this view is the way in which the police and the ministry approached two demonstrations of neo-Nazis earlier this year, and most importantly of all was the lack of interest of the Department of Security Policy in consulting with NGOs on their report for 2010, which we did not have the opportunity to comment on, and which includes a number of strange things that we do not agree with.
One of the main points of contention in that report, Mr. Ryšavý says, is the statement that the perpetrators of extremism in the Czech Republic are not only far right and far left, but in some cases Roma organizations too. Since the ethnicity of perpetrators of any sort is not registered in the Czech Republic, Romea says they do not understand what that conclusion is based upon. Moreover, the association contests that the 2010 report only publishes data regarding attacks involving anti-Semitism, while disregarding attacks on Muslims, Vietnamese, and Roma. In the previous year, the NGO had the opportunity to comment on the annual report and felt that its contribution was appreciated.
This year, ever since the demonstration in Nový Bydžov, the ministerial workers have basically been laughing at us and saying that our comments have no weight. We also received a letter from the ministry officials after the demonstration saying that if our website provides a space for opinions that are critical of the police and the Ministry of the Interior, then the ministry will reassess its collaboration with us. We see that kind of attitude as being absolutely unacceptable in a democratic society.
The Ministry of the Interior has yet to comment on the dispute with Romea, but says it will release a statement later on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, the public broadcaster Czech TV is airing the first part of a new documentary series dedicated to Originální videožurnál, a unique video magazine established by Czech dissidents in the late 1980s. The documentary offers some rare footage from dissident circles, as well as reports about the Velvet Revolution in November 1989. Jan Richter has the details.
In May 1989, Václav Havel shared his feelings about his release from a communist prison with reporters from Originální videožurnál. These and other reports depicting the life of dissidents in the late 1980s are featured in a new documentary series by Czech TV that premieres on Tuesday. Veronika Linková is one of the series producers.
Česká televize koupila zhruba 200 hodin hrubého materiálu,
Czech TV brought about 200 hours of unedited material of Originalny Video Journal. It contains some rare footage, not only from the end of the communist era, but also from November 1989, when Czechoslovak TV reporters did not yet get that close to what was happening. So there are many shots that people might not have seen before.
The idea to produce a video magazine covering the dissident movement, anti-regime rallies, independent cultural events and other happenings originated in 1987 in the circles around Václav Havel. Inspired by the activities of Karel Kinsel, an exiled Czech journalist who in the UK produced his own video magazine, Václav Havel thought something similar could also be done in Prague. Photographer and cameraman Přemysl Fialka was one of the magazine's reporters. He describes the beginnings of Originální videožurnál.
Přesně si nepamatuju, jestli to bylo na přelomu roku 87-88.
I can't remember exactly, but I think that in early 1987 there was a meeting of various independent filmmakers. There we agreed we would go ahead. We started with one video camera they sent us from abroad, and it later grew bigger and bigger.
Amatérská víceméně videokamera, no a pak se to postupně rozšiřovalo.
Their reports would be secretly edited, recorded on video cassettes and distributed among dissidents, friends and sympathizers. In total, 7 such video magazines came out before the fall of communism. Many of the tapes inevitably ended up in the hands of the STB, the secret police. But Mr. Fialka says the police would usually leave them alone, perhaps because they didn't want to lose a unique source of information. Sometimes, however, reporting on openly anti-regime activities was not an easy job. Přemysl Fialka again.
On December 10, 1987, on Human Rights Day, there was a rally in Old Town Square, the first after many, many years. I was there with a colleague from Original Video Journal. We had a camera, but we did not dare take it out because there were so many STB agents all around. So that's where our courage failed us.
The new series begins on Czech TV's 24 channel at 8:30 on Tuesday and will air until the 12th of August. More information can be found on Czech TV's website.
Thanks for that, Jan. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Some figures are cast as heroes and others as villains. Emanuel Moravec, the face, voice and main force behind Czech collaboration with the occupying Nazis during World War II, unmistakably belongs to the latter category. For his actions, he became dubbed the Czech Quisling, a reference to the more famous Norwegian collaborator. In Czechs in History, Chris Johnstone explores Moravec's complex character and path to collaboration. Chris Johnstone has more.
While Moravec never wielded the same power as some of his collaborationist peers in occupied Europe, he was perhaps an even more ardent supporter of German aims than many and attracted even greater hatred from most of his countrymen. Part of that hatred probably stemmed from his seemingly abrupt turnaround from being a vehement advocate of defending democratic Czechoslovakia against Germany. A supporter of President Tomáš Masaryk, Moravec was even one of the pallbearers at his state funeral in 1937. Historian Jiří Perneš is one of the few Czech historians who has written about the former Czech legionnaire, Czech army officer, military expert and journalist turned collaborator.
Up to Munich, he belonged to those officers who wanted to fight Germany at all costs. They wanted to defend the Republic against Germany even without the help of England and France.
For Moravec, like many Czechs, Munich was a turning point. It discredited the Western democracies and the international attempts by the second president, Edvard Beneš, to keep Germany in check through a series of alliances. But for Moravec, there was even worse to come under the short-lived Second Republic, with a new Czech government trying to appease Nazi Germany. He was forced to quit teaching at the main military academy, given indefinite leave from the army, and banned from writing articles for newspapers, one of his main sources of income. Moravec at one point was even thinking of emigrating to Costa Rica. Some have interpreted Morawiecki's transformation as caused purely by his material needs, which included supporting two previous wives and three sons. By March 1939 and the German occupation of the Rump Czech state, he was on his third major relationship with a former maid, which had started 2 years earlier when she was just 16 and he was 44. Jiří Perneš again.
I think that Emmanuel Morawiec, who was the symbol of the worst of traitors, was not just an opportunist. Of course, the attempt to get a secure and comfortable life under German occupation also undoubtedly played a role. Morawiec was a military expert and expert in international politics. At the end of the 1930s and start of the 1940s, he analyzed the international political situation and simply decided that if the expected international conflict that was expected erupted, it would lead to a German victory.
Morawiec, who had left-leaning sympathies in the interwar period, also saw Nazism as a social revolution, and this probably helped in his conversion as well. With trepidation, he feared imprisonment or worse, Morawiec proposed his services to the SS's intelligence service. In spite of his past anti-German stand, he was welcomed. With mainstream Czech newspapers still reticent about publishing openly collaborationist material before the outbreak of World War II, Morawiec turned to Czech radio. From August 1939, he had the opportunity to comment once a month on events at home and abroad. This is one of his earliest broadcasts from October that year, in which he explains his motives for collaboration and the historical reasons for it.
Má úloha nebyla lehká, když jsem začal hlásat smír a spolupráci s nimi. Křesťané, kteří vývoji dějin nás nerozumí, pohanské kněžství.
The German occupiers were happy with the results and offered him more frequent radio appearances. From May 1940, Morawiec was on the air once a week. Some of the early broadcasts were collected in a book entitled In the Service of the New Europe. He also helped the Germans organise a team of Czech journalists who could put their propaganda message across to the local population. Morawiec's role of unrestrained collaboration and obedience to his masters can be contrasted with that of the then Czech Prime Minister of the Protectorate government, Alois Eliáš, who gave no ground to the Germans unless he had to, and kept in contact with the exiled government of former President Beneš in London. For the Nazis, though, that was precisely Morawiec's appeal. It marked him out from some leaders of the Czech fascist movement who wanted to be treated as equals with the Germans in running the country. Mr. Perneš again.
I do not think the Germans liked Morawiec. They assessed him very pragmatically and saw him as a person who was prepared to serve them without thinking twice and would carry out and realize their instructions and demands without the slightest hesitation. That is why they supported him.
Morawiec really came into his own when Reinhard Heydrich took over as acting protector of Bohemia and Moravia in September 1941. Heydrich wanted a tougher clampdown on what little Czech resistance there was and more Czech commitment to the Nazi war effort. Morawiec formed part of those plans and was made Minister of Education and National Enlightenment in spite of opposition from President Emil Hacha. At one point, he declared there was no need to reopen Czech universities because Czechs did not need them. Morawiec also ordered his own ministerial uniform, a mix of Czech army and SS uniform, which he was proud to wear. Part of Morawiec's task was feeding the occupiers' propaganda to the domestic audience. Whether Morawiec was successful or not is a moot point. But it is some sort of tribute to him that the exiled Beneš government considered Morawiec as an alternative target for the assassination squad that was finally dispatched to kill Heydrich. Morawiec was one of Heydrich's favourites, and many thought the bald and not very military-looking Czech would suffer from his death. That was not the case. Morawiec showed his worth by masterminding the offer of a 10 million crown reward for finding Heydrich's killers. On the domestic front, he succeeded in sidelining collaborationist and fascist rivals. Some were even sent to German concentration camps. This made Moravec the indisputable leader of the Czech collaborationist camp. With the war slowly turning against Germany, Moravec stepped up his efforts to be useful to his German masters. He launched the Kuratoria, a type of Czech Hitler Youth. He also backed the Czech League Against Bolshevism, which was launched at the start of 1944 with the aim of persuading Czechs to fight alongside Germans against the advancing Soviet forces. Both initiatives were failures. According to Mr. Pernes, it is not likely that Moravec ever knew of some of the most radical and far-reaching Nazi plans to deal with Czechs if they had won the war.
I am convinced that he did not know about the final German plans to solve the Czech question. That is, the partial Germanization, partial liquidation, and partial relocation of the population to some place like Siberia. However badly you perceive Moravec, I do not think that he fell that low that he was prepared to work or collaborate with the Germans on the liquidation of his own nation.
He was, however, prepared to denounce Jews in line with Nazi race policy. With the Allies closing in on Prague from east and west, Moravec knew he could not expect any salvation. He decided to commit suicide on May the 5th, 1945, as the long-expected uprising against the Nazis started in the Czech capital. At the request of the Germans, Moravec was on his way to a broadcasting station still in German hands. They mistakenly thought Moravec could calm things down. The truck ran out of petrol. Afraid of being lynched, Moravec took out his pistol and shot himself through the head. Despite being the prime Czech World War II collaborator, historians, especially Czech historians, have shunned Moravec. Mr. Pernes, whose 1997 book is an exception to this rule, believes shame is probably one of the main reasons.
I think for Czech society, the shame that someone like Moravec could have existed played a certain role. Also, under communism, there was a certain political lack of interest in that dark chapter of Czech history being remembered and retold.
The communists preferred to concentrate on the treachery of the West and Soviet liberation than this problematic personality.
This edition of Czech History by Chris Johnstone was first broadcast in June 2009. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with Sound Czech, our popular Czech language learning program, brought to you this time by Daniela Lazarová.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Sound Czech, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by teenage pop singer Eva Farna. The song is called Passion and the phrase to listen out for is Oči na stopkách. Oči na stopkách means eyes on stems and suggests that one's eyes are popping out of one's head on stems or springs, as you sometimes see in cartoons and comic books. The phrase does not, however, suggest surprise so much as expectation, when one is alert for something they anticipate or fear. If you want to express surprise, you put the eyes even higher up on top of someone's head. Měl z toho oči na vrch hlavy means the news put his eyes on top of his head. Have another listen to the original phrase, oči na stopkách. A phrase you may frequently come across when speaking to the older generation is zlaté oči, or golden eyes. It is used to express disbelief that whatever it is likely to happen. And the whole phrase originally was zlaté oči, co to uvidí, loosely translated as precious are the eyes that see this happen, or there's precious little chance of anyone ever seeing this come about. Big eyes, on the other hand, velký oči, denote a hunger for something. If you put two pieces of cake on your plate and find that you're unable to eat them, a Czech will say you had big eyes, velký oči, but your tummy didn't measure up. Eyes, of course, are also for crying, and we say mohla si oči vyplakat, she could cry her eyes out. If someone is dumped or duped and there's precious little they can do about it, you will hear people say zůstaly mi oči proplač, all I have left is eyes to cry with. On the other hand, if you're fairly happy about something, but it could have been better, you can say lepší než dostat drátem do oka. It's better than a poke in the eye. The expression házet po někom očkem, to throw an eye in someone's direction, means to take furtive glances at someone. To fall out of your mum's eye, ta mámě z oka vypadla, does not mean you had a fallout with your mum. On the contrary, it is used to describe a girl's likeness to her mother, a chip off the old block. And finally, a bit of old wisdom. Co oči nevidí, to srdce nebolí. What your eyes don't see will not hurt your heart. A phrase used when someone is cheating on you. On the other hand, you might prefer to keep your eyes on stems and look out for trouble, because otherwise they could soon be on top of your head. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and goodbye.
Daniela Lazarová with Soundcheck there, wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. All our programs and others are available at our internet address radio.cz. If you have any comments, we're always pleased to hear them, and you can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12 12099 Prague 2. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from me, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for listening and goodbye.